maybe she goes somewhere and she's drinking water and leaves the water and goes out to talk with somebody and comes back. He said, how can you leave water like that? Don't you know you can poison your water? He's like, why should anybody poison my water for goodness sake? But there are people who grew up where people are being poisoned. Are you getting my point? So, their water, you know, like if they leave a drink, at least I heard that one long ago. If you're taking a drink, where there are people and you go away, you come back, you don't drink it again. You pour it away. You look for another one because somebody may want to poison you. There are people who, like me, who don't believe anybody wants to poison me, and whoever wants to poison me will drink his own poison and I will never know about it. And peradventure, many people have drank their own poisons that they intended for me. I'm still alive and well. And in case they don't drink their poison, nothing shall by any means hurt me. I will drink the drink and only grow fatter based on the poison. You understand my point? And you will think it is because something is going wrong with me. No, I just grew literal fat. That's my mindset. So I'm not always watching my back. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So if you're like that, this is a simple thing. You became like that because, now listen to this. Your parents, now please, I want to apply it. Your parents made you like that. What I mean by your parents now is they are a type of what society is. The society made you like that. Your father may not have taught you to fight, but he married three wives and made you have to fight for bed space, made you have to fight for meat, made you have to fight for school fees. He did not deliberately put a sword in your hand and teach you how to block and how to use a shield, but he put you inside a contentious environment. That was what happened to Moses. His parents sent him to the house of Pharaoh. Are you getting my point? Read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. That was what I explained. You see a young boy, a young girl, 16, 17, 18, 19, even up to 20. They are a reflection of where they came from. Either because the parents said, do like this, or the parents did not consciously say, don't do like this. Both of them are the same thing. Don't expect your children to learn good behavior intuitively. No. Good behavior is something you must set them down, you understand my point, and talk to them about. You don't beat your younger ones. If you have to struggle for something with somebody, leave it. Are you getting my point? You have to speak that characteristics or those characteristics into them. It doesn't come naturally. So David said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. It has to be taught. One of the things I've learned is that no child is too young to learn. At the age of one, at the age of 6 months, inside the stomach, talk to a child. There are medical facts to show that they recognize the voice of the mother, even while they're inside. They are not as stupid as you think. A one-year-old is such a fertile place to plant good things and bad things too. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So, you see, whatever the young boy or young girl is growing up to be, is what the, now, you know, I'm using the parents now as an example, as a type of both of the parents themselves, the adults around, the society, everything around. If you were born in a particular, if your father was a Muslim, your mother was a Muslim, you will grow up a Muslim. If your father was a mafia don and your mother is Sicilian, you will grow up shooting people. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures was when God told the children of Israel, say, you see, your daughters have become harlots and your sons have become whoremongers. He said, but I'm not going to punish your daughters and I will not touch the boys. Why? Because the parents themselves, you get the point? That is, whatever they are is a reflection of what the parents made them. Oh, the parents were like that first. And he was talking about idol worship. Just by the way, listen, whatever you do with your life, as well as a parent, it's not just about you, it's about your descendants. You're affecting them. If you're always going to all kinds of shrines, your girls will be very loose. There's nothing you can do about it. That's just life. God said to them, listen, I will not punish those children because they are a reflection of what the parents are. You know, Jesus, at the point in time, they dragged a young woman caught in the act, the very act. That is, we didn't say we saw her disappear into a corner. We caught them red-handed in the very acts. Because, you see, you know why they did like that? I think Jesus would say, prove it. Were you there? How are you assuming? He said, this one is nothing like that. Oh. The very act. You know the rest of the story. They spoke. The Lord was waiting for a word of wisdom. So he said nothing. Then when the word of wisdom arrived, he turned and said, anybody amongst you that has never committed adultery, throw the first stone. Now, he said, without sin doesn't mean he did not lie. This is my own persuasion, all right? And in fact, I'm so strong about it, I'm dogmatic about it. It wasn't said, if you have never stolen money. He didn't say so. He said, of all you guys here, anyone that has never committed adultery, throw the first stone. The first guy looks, say, I just not want to argue with you. I just not want to argue. And I throw away the stone. You can't come out. Next guy said, ah, you call me. Wait, I didn't come. Hey, run. The third guy said, and I said, the guy, anyway, they use all kinds of methods. Everybody disappeared. You know the rest of the story. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes again and saw the lady and said, where are your accusers? In summary, they are not big enough to accuse anybody. Are you getting my point? And he now turned to her. Now, this is my story. He turned to her and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, this is my analysis. There are many sides, many ways to explain the same thing in scriptures. You know, there are many sides to spiritual matter, all right? But I am sure, I'm persuaded this is the most important there. Most of us interpret it as the Lord showing mercy. But I've looked at it, he wasn't showing mercy. Unless you mean mercy is a product of understanding, which it can be. But what he was showing was understanding. Different from mercy. Because it's a scripture for it. This girl is an adulteress because the men are adulterers. Are you getting my point? So because and God has said, I will not punish your daughters when they are adulteresses. Because the men themselves, they go after foreign idols, and they themselves, they follow other gods, they are adulterers. For that reason, their daughters are a reflection of what they are. And that was why he looked at them and dared them to explain why she should die when they are alive. Are you following my point? Listen, that was why I didn't condemn her. Though he was a merciful person. Though if anybody had come to her, to him repenting, he would have forgiven and given them another chance. But the major reason he did not condemn that girl was that she was not a true sinner. The way people were looking at her. But just like she encountered Jesus that day, everybody will encounter Jesus one day. No matter the story you have to tell about how you arrived in the house of Pharaoh, one day you will encounter your Jesus Christ. Do you answer my point? That's when your life actually begins to count. You know what am I saying? Well, taking lessons from the life of Moses. Now, first lesson is that when he was young, his parents sent him to school. You know what I'm saying? In the house of Pharaoh. So he learned all the acts of princes in Egypt. If princes in Egypt used to have four girlfriends, Moses too had. Trust me, he did. Whatever they ate, he ate. Whatever they wore, he wore. But the Bible says that next verse. He said, verse 24, but, listen to this, he said, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused certain issues. The idea of being known as a prince in Egypt now became a problem for him. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, that is when you give your life to Christ, actually. An average Nigerian, God forgive me, the way I want to say it, we are working on it, amen, up till now, was born corrupt, likes to steal money. Government money is something to be stolen. if you have ever worked in government, I mean, I don't mean work in government office where you collect salary alone and go out and do, I mean, you enter the center of activities in government office anyway. You will know everybody works in there. 95 out of 100 people, they walk in there, they want to grab. The other day in my office, you know, something happened. I applied for money for to do some things that will really improve our practice. And the money was given to somebody else to go and purchase those things. And I remember I went to the DDF, the person in charge of finance. I said, now, the CMD had approved that they should give me the money. But they gave the money to somebody else. And I said, for checks and balances and all of that, the man explained. I didn't argue too much, but I gave him my point. I said, that thing will not be bought. And I didn't mean it that the person they gave it to will steal the money. I said, you see, what they didn't understand, what the man did not get as a point is that when we went to do our costing in one of these big shops in town, if they said 19,520, we wrote it like that, 19,520. You follow what I'm explaining? So by the time we totaled everything, and it took months for them to approve the money, as the money was coming out, you know, inflation, I knew the prices had changed. And I knew my plan was that if you gave me the money, I will buy everything first, add the extra from my pocket, then come and explain to you that I have added some money. If you give me, fine. If you don't, I shrug my shoulder, but I'm happy because my work is moving on. But of course, unconsciously, that's what I'm going to. Unconsciously, people don't believe that's what they are doing. They believe that if you wrote 19,005, the thing is actually more like 12,000 naira. So, like, why should you chop the money? You know, that kind of thing. Let's give somebody else an opportunity. You're a big man. There's somebody else. You know, it's an undertone. It's just there. And that was why I did not argue. Oh, guess what? The money was released. They went back to the market. They couldn't buy anything. I'm not going to diss about it. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you see, it's just there in the minds of everybody. In the minds of everybody. Now, this is what Christianity is. Why are we all like that? Our parents, you know, my parents now, society, everything, made us like that. But each person we meet is Jesus Christ one day. And that's what it means to be born again. Listen, to be born again does not just mean I put up my hand. Who wants to give his life to Christ? It is the beginning. My experience in the Word of God, all right, teaching it is that I have come to the conclusion that born again is not a one-time experience. There is a major one. You gave your life to Christ, then you begin to learn. Are you getting my point? And different aspects of your life, you start encountering the places in which you are living, the palace of Pharaoh. And once you encounter it, as a grown-up man, you say, no, I was born like this. But I don't have to continue like this. And that is the duty of every Christian. When I wrote the book, Should I Say Yes? It was a shell shock for a lot of people. Some got angry. In fact, I still remember the guy who got angry. Got angry. One man wrote, he wasn't angry. I don't know whether he was a male. He said, Pastor, I've been enjoying you, but you are beginning to sound strange. You are beginning to sound strange. Because the time when I talk about cherish, you know, the nourishing and cherishing, yes, that chapter, when I talk about how a man should treat his wife, you know, so as to show that he nourishes, that he's nourishing and cherishing the woman. The guy said, you are sounding strange. Please don't emphasize this thing. Because women will soon read it and then, you know, wala go boss, do that kind of thing. Now I realized that, listen, at the point in time, men began to reject what was not natural to them. When somebody asked me for counsel, I said, listen, your husband is thinking like an African husband. I'm so sorry. We'll pray for him. You will continue to pray, but you have to endure him for a long time until he removes this African thinking. There's an African husband mindset. It's not a godly thing. It's just an African thing. There's a liberated woman's mindset, which is worse than an African husband mindset. When the two of them now jam inside the house, volcano. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, this is what I'm trying to make, all right, please. This is what I'm trying to say. Listen, in our lives, there are different aspects to our lives. All those things are formed. There's some of a bit of our natural traits in them, but most of them are formed based on our experiences, what we were taught, or what we were not taught. Therefore, our animalistic tendencies just remained. Nobody tried to control it. And the first lesson today from the life of Moses is the fact that he grew up and made up his mind what he wanted to be. That's why I wrote in the book, Choices, Key to Destiny. All your stories of, you know, the reason why I'm aggressive is that I used to fight for meat. Now that God, by his Holy Spirit, has helped you identify it, it is time to stop being aggressive. It is time to stop being what? Aggressive. That's not a Christ-like trait. It's not. You wonder, you can't trust anybody. I think you trust. Just make up your mind. I want to trust. Let them cheat me. How come I've never been cheated self? I'm the only human being that's never been cheated. I don't take nonsense. I don't take nonsense. How come I'm the only person that can't take nonsense? The Bible says you should take nonsense once in a while. That's what it means to be meek. You know, this interesting part about life, eh? Moses, when the Bible talks about meek, you find out that he hardly ever defended himself. That's the point. Has God not... Is it only you God is speaking through? Eh, go and prophesy your own now. Now fight. That was it. And then God now took it upon himself to defend Moses. One thing I know for sure, that if you are defending yourself, God does not defend you. That's it. Somebody has to... You understand my point? Somebody has to do to take the glory. So if you want to take it, go. Say, you can have it. But if you want me to have it, all right, then let me do the defending. In fact, in that book I told you I bought sometime many years ago, Seven Keys to Spiritual Power, A.W. Tozer said one of the keys is never defend yourself. That's one of the keys that Tozer put, all right, as one of the keys to spiritual power. I remember, what is his name? Watchman Nee. His Chinese name is Nee To Sheng, all right? But in English, it's Watchman Nee, all right? Once, people spoke evil about him. And people said, talk now, you have to talk, you have to defend yourself, you have to tell them what really happened. He said, there's no need. He said, if they don't trust us, no matter what we say, they won't believe us. He said, but if they trust us, what's the need anyway? They already know it's a lie. So the man refused to say anything. It was vexing people on his behalf. But his own is that, look, I'm a man of God. They are accusing a man of God. That's God's business to defend his man. Now, I just bring an issue here. If you are overly aggressive, take pride in that. Pastor, good morning, sir. Yesterday I was cheated. I didn't say anything. No. I couldn't believe it. I was cheated. They actually stole my 2,000 naira. If it's before... Oh, wow. Things could all spoil. But now... Now, I'm not going to say bring out an issue here, please. All right? And that's the fact that, listen, if you notice you have a particular trait, please forget these excuses. That's how I've always been. You can critically assess it. If it is good, fine. Retain it. If it is bad, that's the first lesson from the life of Moses. You make up your mind concerning what you will do about it. I hope you've gotten what I've explained there. All right, if you've gotten this, say amen. All right, the other one, let's start the other one, and then we'll finish it. Let's see how far we can go before we close. Now, we know we're reading two things. I said there are two things I want to bring up from there. He said his parents, they noticed that this, which verse now, 23. He said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, please, the Bible says it was by faith. One of the things I know about faith from studying the scriptures, faith is not just a feeling, it's an understanding. It's an understanding of the person of God. That's what faith is. Please, I'm bringing an issue here. When the Bible says that by faith his parents hid him because they saw he was a beautiful child, now, this is my own personal conviction. I can't be dogmatic about this, but let's just listen to it. I will maybe be able to take a few lessons from it. I believe, this is what I believe. they understood the word beautiful there was describing the fact that he was a child of purpose. It's not just that he had two eyes, a nice nose, look at his mouth. Cute little thing, cute little thing. That was there. But that was not the primary thing. And listen, quickly open your Bible to Psalm 139. In verse 13, it says, "For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's why I wanted to read verse 14. "I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well." Please note that, and then quickly open to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Just a few books down. After Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 11 says, okay, let me say from verse 9. I'm going to verse 11. It says, "What profit is there to the worker for that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves." He now said in verse 11, I'm adding the word "but" to make it clear. He said, "But he has made everything beautiful." I'm using the New American Standard. It says appropriate in his time. But the literal Hebrew, which is what King James uses, say he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to even to the end. But my emphasis is that expression that God has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, I'm combining those two portions of the scriptures. That's Psalm 139 and this Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You see the point there, beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in his time. When it says, "I'm beautifully or I'm fearfully and wonderfully made," this was what God was saying. That you have been made for a particular purpose and you are specially designed to fit that purpose. This is where I like to explain it. If you have ever seen an airplane, if you've ever seen an aeroplane, say amen. All right, you don't have to enter, you saw it somewhere. Even if it's newspaper, say amen. Amen. All right. And please, I want to ask a question. Do you think it's beautiful? If you think so, just say amen. Amen. All right, good. Have you ever seen a car, you know, a car, and there are cars everywhere. There are cars you see, and you nod, "My God, this car is beautiful." You understand? Okay, and then you've seen a house, and the house is so beautiful, right? And you've seen a human being, and the human being is so beautiful. And you've seen a child, and the child can be so beautiful, but an adult with the same proportion as a little baby would not look so beautiful, right? Now, different things, beautiful, but none of these things I've mentioned look alike. So what is the thing that makes something beautiful? Now, I'm not talking in detail about the concept of beauty now, but this is a summary of it. What makes something beautiful actually is how fitting they are to their purpose. That's what makes something beautiful. Listen, let me tell you something. Guys, ladies, shut your ears up. Men, we want to talk to ourselves. Every woman is very beautiful. Amen? What makes a woman beautiful or not is marry her first. If she gives you wahala at home, like your blood pressure doubles after just 6 months of marriage, every girl you see like her on the road, you want to kill her. Get away from the road, this ugly thing. It's not the girlie. It is the wife at home that is giving you heat. So now the interpretation on your surface is, see that guy as they go, so Jezebel, wicked soul. And people will be looking at, you know her from somewhere. No, she looks like your wife. Ladies, if you are laughing at me, you are listening to me. And I said, you should close your ears. But if it's the other way around. If you see a young guy talking to one young lady that looks like, that is, as your wife is very nice, she has been such a blessing to you. Your blood pressure used to be high. Then when you married her, it has come down since. All right, God has helped you. You didn't have money, but he has given you peace of mind. Now you have prospered over time. You get my point? And look, she has just been a great, you know, support to your soul, like Sarah. When I say one young man, one day now comes, you see him talking with one young lady that looks a bit, now listen to me, this is a matter of fact, this is an unconscious thing, so just looks a bit like your wife. You tap him like, "What's happening? Are you, Listen, you start supporting the guy. You don't know her from anywhere. But because you love this guy, and you want him to do well in life, and you want him to have peace of mind, you start supporting the guy. Alessa, do you know her from somewhere? No, no. But you won't even know. But you know, when I just saw her, I said, my God, this girl is beautiful. And I lie. The truth is that she's painting a picture of your experience. That's why in psychology, there's what they call the Oedipus complex. Oedipus is a Greek mythology guy who killed his father and married his mother. So Sigmund Freud and co. now describe the fact that some guys, they are so attached to their mothers, they end up marrying ladies that look like their mothers. And I say it's not attachment. It's more that the mothers loved them, cared for them, and without thinking about it, their mothers are now the reflection. They are the painting of beauty in their eyes. That's all. Do you get the point I'm making? Yeah. I'm going to explain something. Beauty is how fitting something is to purpose. That's why a plane can be beautiful. At the same time, a car is beautiful. They don't look alike. At the same time, a house is beautiful. At the same time, a dog is beautiful. Some of the things Oyinbo people call beautiful dogs. You've seen them? And they say, oh, this dog is so beautiful. I'm like, what? Are you blind or something? This one beautiful? Well, that's because you're an African brother. You get my point. What you are looking for in a dog is the one that can kill the thief that crosses your fence. You understand my point? Now you're seeing a dog that all he can do is yang, 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 and then, and he has long ears like this, and he has patch. You know, like, what is beautiful? But when you see a Great Dane, you know, those dogs that are this high, say, this dog is beautiful. What you're thinking of, all arm robbers come first. That's in your mind. That's what you're thinking of. What is beautiful to an African man is a Rottweiler. You can eat people up. Now, no, that's what makes something beautiful. And that's why those days, if you are very, 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 very fat, round like this pulpit, you understand that dimension? In Calabar those days, you are a very expensive wife to marry. And all these Lekwa girls of these days, you could not have made it in Calabar of those days. You understand my point? Because then, you are a reflection of what a man could afford. But now, things are different. It's a matter of, Agbani Direk, you know, only the Lord is good. As it's good. Now, what am I trying to explain? Let me just get back to my message so I can go home. So when the Bible says that they saw that Moses was beautiful, that's what I'm going to explain. I believe they had the revelation of purpose. They understood that this is not just another one of those children. They understood, maybe they didn't know the details, but they definitely knew that this guy will accomplish something for God on this earth. And that was why they did what they did. They went beyond what was natural to try and preserve his life. That's what it means when you read that they found that he was a beautiful child. It just means that they discovered he had a purpose, a special purpose, which I believe God revealed something along that line to them. Maybe not the details. And that's what it means. What's the application to us? I just believe, let me just add this one to it, put a few things together and we'll leave it there. One, let me just summarize like this. Every child of God has a special purpose. And listen, if you understand, there are two sides to it. One, you, and then your own children. But let's start with you, all right? You as a person. If you understand that you have a special purpose, you are not going to allow yourself to be treated like everybody else is being treated. Did you hear what I said? Let me say, just as a small testimony again, I told the story many times. Those days, you know, as I started studying the scriptures when I was in university, I started reading the Bible like it's a book that speaks to me in 87. All right? Then I wanted to learn what was inside. We're reading books and all of that. I read a few Christian literature in 86. Kenneth Hagin's Five Hindrances to Growth in Grace, I read in 86. By the seven, I got into a room where there were brothers who loved the word and they could pray. So I just followed them and we were studying the scriptures. So by the time I graduated from university in 91, went for youth service and all of that, I had been a student of the word for a number of years. I'm bringing out something here. And for a long time, I couldn't think of myself as common. wasn't out of pride. I mean, was there to be proud about? It's just that I had learnt the word of God and I realized that indeed I'm a beautiful child. Let me summarize like that. So those days when Nigeria was tough, if they tell you Nigeria is tough today, just thank God. Because you don't know when Nigeria was tough. If it's tough now, Father in heaven. Let me not go over that, the story of the days of SAP. 89-90. When you hear SAP, if you see Babangida on television, you want to kill him. But this point I'm going to make, especially if you were civil servants. If your parents, my parents were civil servants, so I understood. Now, shortly after that, SAP was still on, things were still tough. So everybody, that's what they call brain drain. Brain drain. Every doctor was leaving the country. Every young man was leaving the country. But one thing I just couldn't stand as his beautiful child. Are you getting my point? I couldn't stand any insult from anybody, especially if you were white. Don't ask me why. But I think it's because of what I had learned. In the midst of the difficult situation in the country that time, I always like to give the story like this. When I started my residency, my salary in a month was 5,000 naira a month. He said money that time was very valuable. That is true, except that the pair of loafers I used to wear were 3,000 naira a pair for St. Michael's loafers. That is, a whole doctor's month salary couldn't buy two pairs of St. Michael's loafers. Now, I see house officers buying cars. I shake my head. Then, when our friends would buy television, we all gather. Oh boy, you don't hear. Like, why you don't buy TV? We run, go in the room. Oh boy, you buy television. Because literally, you needed 3 months salary put together to buy a 14-inch TV, I remember. So it's understandable that everybody wanted to disappear to every country in the world. It's understandable. I mean, it's easy to understand. But I don't know why. But in the midst of all of that, I read the scripture. Oh, that was why. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I realized that God will prosper me anywhere. Don't ask me why. I didn't have money. If you came to visit me, you did not come before the 15th of the month, I wouldn't see food to give you. God in heaven is my witness. I'm not joking about that. And I used to tell my siblings, if you are coming to Lagos, come before the middle of the month. But I'm talking about a beautiful child. Despite that, I told everybody. And I used to drive my cousin around. I was a businesswoman. So before I started my residency, I just used to go around and I would see Nigerians queue on Eleke Crescent. And I said, I will never, ever queue for anybody in any embassy for anything. It was in my brain. Isn't it, you loved poverty? I did not love poverty. I knew I was a beautiful child. That's what I'm explaining. So that's why Moses' parents did not let things happen to him the way it was happening to everybody else. People did all kinds of things. Tell lies, do this one. But I said, no, I am not doing. Because I'm a beautiful child. The fact is that I said, listen, in this life, I will matter. I will bless you, will be a blessing. I said, I will be a blessing to many people. Literally, I said, I will be a blessing to millions. And I still mean it. I thank God I'm already blessing thousands at least. And maybe scores of thousands. But trust me, one day, as a matter of fact, one day to just leap, boom, it will be millions. This man will make. Wasn't everything I could take. They used to write in the papers then, say, the Nigerian government should complain to the embassy. They are maltreating Nigerians in the embassies. If you were the one that wanted to give 10 visas and you got 10,000 applications, how will you treat them? I said, before you start asking yourself, they're not very well treated. You does not be well treated. Be honest. What were you looking for there? How can a beggar say he's not being well treated? How many beggars have you greeted good morning, sir? On your life. You did pass your God, they greet you. Good morning, sir. Because it will pass you. What is it? If you touch my window. Because sometimes, you're waxing your car in the morning, your glass is shining. Somebody just come, put hand on it. To beg. You were like, yeah. You're not even, you need the Spirit of God to tell you, say, this is just a car, that's a human being, this is just a car. Yes. Yeah, you need the Spirit of Christ too. Sometimes some of those children, they're not even looking. Oh God, they just put a palm on your glass and looking somewhere else. Ah! You will look in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for this one. Otherwise, you will wind down, come on down and bite it. Ah! And no, so if you treat beggars like that, what do you expect Americans to do? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So I didn't understand Nigerians' complaints, all right? But my issue was that I will never do it for anybody. Why? I'm a precious child. I'm a beautiful child. In your life, take it like that too. Sometimes, you know, they tell me, you know, young girls are in school. The lecturer is chasing them. Say, if you don't come and stay, see me, you won't pass. You see, they are, if any girl comes to give me that kind of discussion, what do? I will beat you first. Pull out a belt, turn your back. Boom, 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 boom. Now that we have settled that your stupidity has been cast out by beating, I will not tell you what to do. There are things that are not discussion. You understand my point? If you realize you're a beautiful child, there are things that are not to be discussed. You see, Olga, if they say this is my body is a cure for that your mental sickness, better go and die in peace. Tell him, no, I'm serious. You know, there are things you see that this is not good, nice way to talk to an old man, no. But if it comes to that, tell her, when you tell her, you know, say no play. He said, if you fail me, none of your children will do well in life. Oh boy, Baba will leave you. Why they are pursuing all these discussions? That, you know, it's not good now. You know, I'm a young guy. You know, my father's age, mate. That's why you are having talk now. When you look and say, oh God, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. The thing that's worrying you will not rise again. The man, he go think and mess. I was just playing with you now. It's true. No, you understand my point? It's when you don't realize you're a beautiful child, you have some discussions. You get what I'm saying? What am I going to explain? Let me just end it there. The parents of Moses saw that he was a beautiful child, a child that had purpose. They said, no, what's happening to everybody must not happen to this one. If you see your life like that also, it's not everything you will take. It's not everything you will take. They say there's a sharp way to make money. You think about it. Kai. One brother told a story. He said once he and his friends, they did, you know, 419. You know what they call 419? And his father is a minister. But no boys, if your father can send you to the palace of David, you grow up and decide that no, you are going to the palace of Pharaoh, whatever. But he made his own choices. But later on, God called him to order. So he gave his life to Christ. He said, after that, you know, the devil knows how to tempt you. Shortly after I gave his life to Christ, the money of the deal they did, the 419 deal, was released. Are you getting my point? You know, 419, they work on the project for a long time. So before the money came, he gave his life to Christ. After that, the money showed up. Ah! His boys say, oh boy, my mugu don't pay. That's what the 419 called the people that our mugu don't pay. We will share money. He said he looked at the money. He looked at himself. He looked at the fact that he had given his life to Christ and told them, oh boy, I'm sorry. No, I think he went and told his father. And his father said, anyone that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. So he told his friends, boys, I'm sorry. I can't do it. Now, that's not the testimony. The testimony is, I said, when he was telling the story, not one of them was alive. And the boy talking was less than 30. And at the time he was telling that story, he said, of all him and his friends put together, he was the only person still living. That is all of them that did that deal. I don't have to tell you. If he had taken that money, he too would have been dead. That's why I never forgot his story. I mean, I've heard many stories of 419 people. But his own story was remarkable in that he said, listen, today that I'm telling you this story, not one of those boys is alive today. Listen to me. As a beautiful child, it's not everything you take. That's the point I'm making. Those are our first two lessons from the life of Moses. If you are blessed today, shout a loud amen. Amen. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Based on what we have taught, all right, just begin to pray. I don't know, the Holy Spirit will put words in your mouth that you will pray concerning your life. You have to make choices. You have always been like this. You know, there are people, they say that, wives from this place are bad. They say, no, I'm not like that. That may have been the house of Pharaoh. I've made my choice. I face another direction. A men from this place, they love money too much. They are too aggressive. They say, no, that was the house of Pharaoh. I have made my own choice. I am leaving the house of Pharaoh.